You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
Hello, my name's Kate Dean, and I'm head of television for BT Vision.
Okay, well, welcome, Kate. Thanks for giving up your time. Straight away, let's explore what BT Vision and television is all about for you guys, and maybe a bit of the numbers. If you could give us some context to that, please.
Okay, so BT Vision launched into the marketplace just over 12 months ago. It's a set-top box that you plug into your television, is wireless to your PC, offering all the Freeview channels which come down your aerial and a host of on-demand programming spanning pretty much every main genre, film, television, music, sport and children's programming. We launched about a year ago. We have, at last count, over 150,000 customers. The premise of the BT Vision service is that there's no mandatory subscription. So every single item of content is offered on a subscription element, so you can pay £6 a month for all of television, or a pay-per-view, 79 or 99 pence for a single item of content.
Wow, that's cool. Thank you for that. So tell us why BT, which is historically a telecommunications brand and industry and sector service like that, why are you interested in television? What are the drivers for you to move into this arena?
Well, I think that you're finding that pretty much with many different organisations at the moment. We find that, you know, Sky and some of the pay TV operators are now offering broadband. And I think the realisation that there is convergence, that customers like to bundle their products, they like to be able to offer their television, their broadband and their telephony for one neat price is very compelling for viewers. And as such, BT see a unique opportunity to add value to their existing customers with a television service.
So this, it's almost like the expectation of convergence there, right there, in terms of technology and offering.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And I think that more and more customers see the value of a bundled price, and that is it. And BT are just delivering choice and a convenient control over the pricing and over the bundling of these products.
Well, you touched on something very important there, the choice, convenience and control. And I've been kind of researching this before our interview, and that's a kind of theme that comes through a lot around BT Vision. And is that relation to expectation and need from a consumer point of view, or is that kind of because you can?
Well, we looked at some research in the marketplace before we launched this product, and we found that there was a whole host of people out there who'd never taken the foray into digital television. Now, the reason that they cited that they had never done this, despite aggressive marketing from Sky and Virgin, amongst others, over a number of years, was that they were very subscription averse, and they didn't want to be tied into annual commitments on a cost basis. So what BT have put together is a very flexible service. So it's on a basis where you can watch what you want when you want. You can pay for it in the way that you want to, in the way that you want to watch. Ultimately, have experience. What we find is that, you know, from our feedback from customers now, is that this is a very compelling proposition.
Okay, so actually consumers are actually telling you actually this is the way they want it, this is the way they go. And how kind of interactive, there are certain interactive elements as well that I know that are coming up, like gaming, messaging, retail, that kind of historically you wouldn't find within the interactive element of a red button thing. But is that a kind of bigger proposition for you guys to get involved with? What's the take up of that? Do you have any kind of understanding of numbers and stuff?
Sure. Well, 2007 was very much about acquiring content and getting a critical mass of content onto the service. Mm-hmm. We achieved that objective at the end of last year. 2008 will very much be about developing our interactive services. We have a return path, which is a unique capability with the set-top box that we're using, which means that the capacity for interactive services is great. We will be exploiting this over coming months. Currently on the service, there are games. We're proving to be reasonably popular with our customers. The developments over the next year will be something that we'll be focusing very much so. One thing that BT do reasonably well is communications, and that's an area that we will be exploring in great depth over the next 12 months.
And what do you mean by communications? Sorry to come in there, but could you broaden that a little bit?
Well, there'll be options around, we'll be looking at instant messaging through the television, we'll be looking at video conferencing, many different features along these lines to see whether we can add value to the customer experience.
Okay, that's interesting. So tell us about kind of, if you have one, kind of the makeup of people who take up BT Vision, because I can imagine for young people, because as you know, Media Snacks focus on the kind of youth element, young people, that's a great kind of offering or add-on things to what they currently do on their PCs. Are you seeing kind of the households that do take up your services do have a higher proportion of younger people in there or not? Am I talking kind of crap?
Well, in order to get the BT Vision service, you need to subscribe to BT Broadband. So right. There is a direct overlap between the BT Vision customers and the BT Broadband customers. So these are generally slightly older, slightly more male, but family households. So in answer to your question, DK, there is a very large element of younger viewers contained within the households of the bill payer, who is the BT Broadband subscriber.
Because that's like really important, you know, our focus is that interactive element is what young people really kind of go towards, if you like. And how much of the content, you said you were, you know, the first year was acquiring content, how much is focused on the kind of youth audience, if you like, or is that a big yeah. consideration for you guys?
Well, I'll answer the first half of your question first, which is just the way that that people consume on-demand programming. Mm. Now, the older people, I think for a lot of people, the television has sat in the corner of the room for 50 years, and they've never had to interact with it. And it's probably a slower progression from linear schedules to on-demand programming. For younger people, they embrace this. It's natural. It's a natural technology for people who are very sit-forward consumers. They want to go in and find the programming that they want. They will seek it out. And to that end, we find that many of the programs that we acquire, the younger skewed programming is particularly successful. So in part of my strategy, my programming strategy of acquiring programming for a whole family audience, the youth element is particularly important. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And tell us a bit, if you can, how I don't know how much, but tell us about your future plans there, because you've been going for over a year now. You've probably kind of had some hits and misses, and I'm sure that you're starting to think about really how to capitalise on the audience you currently have and to broaden that. But what are your future plans there? What are your future kind of focuses, if you like, in the next couple of years, strategically and operationally?
Yeah, well, there's two things that immediately spring to mind. Okay. The first thing is using the viewer data that we're getting back, which is when people stop, fast forward, rewind the programming, to see what works and what doesn't. And so over the next 12 months, I'll be looking at what does work, getting more of that, and what doesn't work, taking less. The second thing is the challenge is to ensure that we have a navigation where it makes it easy for people to find the programming that they wish to watch. So it's letting the programs come forward that you're interested in and the rest fall back. Now, that's reasonably challenging outside of a sort of IP internet environment. But we'll be working with a browser which will be sitting on top of the Microsoft platform, enabling us to locate and categorize content in different ways. And that will certainly be a very big part of what we do.
Go on.
Yep. No.
I was just going to ask you, in terms of then, delivering upon that, I can imagine meta tagging is an increasingly important thing for you guys to focus on.
It will indeed. At the moment, we have a very sophisticated search mechanism which allows you to search globally on Freeview, on your PVR, which every box has, or within the on-demand sections. So that is very sophisticated, and we'll be looking at more techniques and more tools like that to enable the customer experience. So, yes, recommendations, there'll be lots of tools to, if you like this, then you should try this, metadata tagging, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's limitless, really, of how we intend to split the data, really.
Okay, well, I'd just like to thank you for giving up your time to speak to Media Snackers, Kate. That was awesome.
That's a pleasure to speak to you, DK.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.